St. John the Baptist was right. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is the chosen Lamb, chosen by God to bear the world's sin and to be the atoning sacrifice for the world. This Isaac will not be spared, but the knife of divine justice will slay him. Blood flows, a torrent of destruction and suffering, because the wages of sin is death. Fire burns. The unseen fires of hell burn undiminished, consuming his body, his soul, his mind, and his spirit. For the wages of sin is not simply physical death, but eternal death in hell. This is what he suffers. But do not be sad for Jesus. Why do you think the Father sent him? Was it not to be the Lamb who dies in the place of fallen men so that all who believe in him might have life in his name? So how can we grieve when this is the Father's will? How can we be sad when the Father is glad? The only other option is that this cross is yours, and this eternal fate would be your eternal fate in hell. But God chose Jesus to be the Lamb so that you would not have to pay for your own sins with eternity in hell. For the lambs that we offer to God are blemished. God wants us to carry out good works, but none of them are good enough. So we strive to give our offerings. We strive to give our time and our abilities and to devote ourselves to the vocation to which God has called us. But work righteousness is a wide pit that all too often consumes us. We think God is pleased with us and loves us more than those other people who haven't done the good things that we have done. We strive to become better today than we were yesterday, to be more self-controlled, to work harder, to be more gentle, kind, and loving, to give ourselves even more to those around us. And God be praised for all of that. We should increase in our life of sanctification. However, we must also recognize that these are blemished lambs, blind, diseased, and broken. They are not perfect. They are good, but not perfect. Christ must make them pure with his atoning blood. So in Christ, there is the love of God. Outside of Christ, there is only wrath and vengeance. So away with our self-chosen lambs, away with our own good works, away with our pride. No one is without blemish. No one is free from the stain of sin. Christ alone can atone. He alone is chosen by God for such a purpose, for he alone is without blemish. Twice, Pilate says, I find no guilt in him. Once he sought to release him, and another time he simply wanted to hand him back to the Jews, knowing full well it was out of envy that they handed Jesus over. Pilate's judgment of God is that he is innocent. He has done nothing wrong, nothing to deserve death, much less even a physical suffering. But Pilate is a coward. He is weak, and he gives in to the impulses and cries of the priests. So what is more important than Pilate's judgment is how God has judged Jesus. He saw that he was holy from little on. He overcame the lies of the devil, not with divine justice and might, but with the word of God, so that the victory that he wins might be the victory for all men. Throughout his life, the devil attacked, and throughout his life, Jesus regurgitated that word of God to drive the devil back again, so his victory might be for us men. Jesus was holy and innocent, daily meditating upon the word of God, daily praying to his Father, even spending nights, sleepless nights in prayer, because how often our prayers have faltered. He did not trust in himself or even in his own good works, though he himself is divine. But he trusted in his heavenly Father to provide bread, a way down, and the kingdom in the way that he chose, through blood and sacrifice. It would have done us no good if Jesus were a sinful, blemished man. His death would be nothing more than yet another martyr's death, no different than Abel's, Zechariah's, or Stephen. It could not atone unless he is pure and holy and innocent. So don't overlook Pilate's estimation of Jesus. I find no guilt in him, for this is not simply the judgment of a man, but this is the judgment of God spoken by God's representative. For the divine eyes pierce far more deeply than Pilate could ever see. He is not simply innocent by Roman law, but by the standards of God's eternal law. He is the Lamb who was sent by God to live in our place. For it would have done us little good had Jesus shown up yesterday, instituted the supper, and then died today. He must fulfill the law in our place. He is a Lamb first to live among his people, even as the Jews were to have a lamb living in their house for 4 days. He lives for us so that he might die for us, without blemish, without defect, a victim pure, a victim holy, a victim immaculate. For indeed it is better that he die in our place than for us all to perish. Though he is innocent, Pilate delivers him over to the priests. Take note of that phrase. Yes, it is the Roman soldiers who oversaw his crucifixion, as we hear in them dividing the garments and casting lot for his clothing. But St. John attributes the crucifixion to the priests. This is more than simply the fervor with which they shouted for his death. But he's teaching you the will of God. For it was the job of the priests to offer the sacrifice that would atone for sin. Day after day, year after year, month after month, they would offer these sacrifices to God. No king could, no governor could, no soldier or prophet could, only the priest. At 9 and at 3, they slayed those lambs, burned their flesh, and dashed the blood against the sides of the altar again and again and again. And now they have received God's chosen lamb. So at 9, the priests of God take charge of Jesus and offer him up on the cross. And at 3, he dies. They offer the sacrifice out of hatred, but God is behind it all, using their hatred so that he himself might offer up this lamb in our place. So he is the one who bears our sin, our guilt, and our punishment. He does nothing for himself, but all he does for us. He lives for us, and he dies for us. He is innocent so that he might die in our place. So his death was necessary, so that you might be covered by his blood. Blood is necessary. How often painted on the doorposts and lintels, how often dashed against the sides of the altar or sprinkled on the mercy seat. Blood atones for sin. Without no blood, there can be no forgiveness. And so when it is shed, it covers over your work righteous heart, your immoral thoughts, your blatant sins and your unknown sins, your intentional deeds and your deeds of ignorance. All that you have ever thought, said, or done, cleansed by that blood. Even in death, the spear brings it forth, a pleasing sacrifice to God. And through holy baptism, it is now painted on the doorposts and lintels of your heart, so that the angel of death might pass over you, and you might have life eternal. So don't weep for Jesus. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For these were your sins, and this was your just punishment. But thank God that he chose a holy, blameless, innocent sacrifice to take your place. the Lamb, as a substitute for you. I should also add that he was a willing sacrifice. Willingly he entered this world knowing full well how it would end. Willingly he entered the temple knowing full well that he must be pure and spotless. Willingly he obeyed and submitted to his parents so again he might be the innocent lamb. Willingly he carried the cross up Mount Calvary uncomplaining, knowing full well what was about to happen. It would have been unjust if the Father had forced him into this. But the Son desired the same thing as the Father, your salvation. So this omniscient, omnipotent Lamb embraced your sin, your curse, your cross, your hell, and your death, so that you might be free. So don't feel sorry for Jesus as if he was forced to endure such torment. But be glad that he willingly switched places with you. He didn't have to, but he wanted to make your sin his own. As much as the Father loved you, so much did the Son love you and wanted to hang on the cross in your place. He was glad to give his innocent flesh for your fallen flesh. He was glad to offer his innocent blood for your defiled blood. He was glad to give his innocent life for your sinful life. So Pilate was right. Jesus is innocent. There is no guilt in him. So too is St. John the Baptist right. And we do well to pay attention to his words. Behold the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name.